The Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As the prophet Isaiah said," now he had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered him, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. You may be seated. It's been a tough week to be an evangelical. It's actually been a tough run for a while. This week I read in a whole host of papers, from the extremely conservative Christianity Today to places like the New York Times and the Washington Post, articles about the word evangelical and about how people are fleeing from it. As a matter of fact, on the New England Synod Lutheran page, a pastor posted this week on Facebook that they had someone who was planning on joining their church but decided not to because they had the word evangelical in the name. It happened for a variety of reasons, but I think it reached its low point in my mind when a person with an evangelical background claiming firmly to that name defended Roy Moore by saying, "Well, Joseph was an adult when he married Mary, and she was a teenager, so even if Roy Moore did what he said, it's not immoral, it's just unusual." At that, I think anyone claiming the name of evangelical had two choices. One was to run and hide and say, "I have nothing to do with this." Or it's time to reclaim the name and reclaim what it means to not just be an evangelical, but what it means to be a Christian. We're evangelical Lutherans. I claim evangelical because it means that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because you know the power of that relationship, of the transformative nature of it, because it's about good news. That's what the word evangeline means. It means to share the gospel, the good news. It's good news for the world. And that's what Christians are supposed to bring to the world, good news, positive. We live in a dark world. And if people's image of Christianity, of being evangelical Lutherans, is what it's become, especially in the recent months, it certainly doesn't look like good news. You know, it's sad. My kids at school, when someone asks them what their mother does, if they get into those conversations, they say, "She's a pastor, but she's really a good person." I mean, it's sad, but that's what a lot of people think. I mean, you've probably been in environments where people are talking about Christians like we're a bunch of judgmental, moral-less people who often are more about condemning people or defending the indefensible rather than the fact that We're a bunch of broken people. We're a bunch of hurting people. And we know we need good news. Now, I suspect none of you woke up this morning and came to church today because it was your objective to figure out how you could judge people in the coming week, hit them over the head with the Bible, and shame them. Did anybody come here for that reason? Good. Glad, because that's not why we're here. But unfortunately, that's how society is starting to view Christianity. People who are saying who's in and who's out and who gets to, I mean, it's terrifying sometimes, that image that a lot of folks have. And so I think it's helpful to use the text for today to understand how we can reclaim it, because John does a great job. Now, we know of John as John the Baptist, but that's not his name in the Gospel of John, which is by John the Evangelist, just to make sure you're confused, okay? John the Evangelist does not call John the Baptist the Baptist. Instead, he's John the Witness. The word that is used repeatedly is that he comes to witness. He comes to testify. He comes to give his story. He comes to tell, you know, the idea of testify. He comes to tell people. The Greek word is martyria, which is the same word that's used for martyr. Because when we testify, when we witness to Christ, we are giving of ourselves. And a martyr is someone who gave of themselves completely. It's what John the Witness did. He was willing to pay the price for witnessing to the truth because the world was so dark, and he was willing to be bold. He was willing to stand up for the gospel, for the good news, which not everyone heard as good news. But he was willing to say what needed to be said and to tell people in the midst of their darkness, in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their brokenness, that there's hope, that there's life, that there's light. And he gives us a really good method for how we can do it now, because the reality is we need to witness to that. We need to testify to the world. We need to reclaim those who have taken hold of Jesus and turned him into some kind of judgmental individual who went around shaming everyone and telling them how horrible they were. That he came bring light and love. And so the first thing that John does is he makes it clear who he is not. He says who he is not. And sadly, but I think truthfully, we need to, in conversation with people who might be getting into, can you believe those evangelicals, or can you believe those Christians and what they're doing, to boldly say, I am a Christian. I belong to the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and I am a loving, kind, caring person. You know, there's something going around about people who get up in arms about what you say when somebody hands me something at retail when I'm going to a store for Christmas. Like, Christmas is all about purchasing things. Like, that's really the core message of Christmas, is that when you go and buy something, someone had better say Merry Christmas to you, or they're going to be in trouble, right? I want to say to that, I am a Christian, I'm not a jerk. I don't care what someone says to me. Well, I do in some situations, but I mean, if they're greeting me in a positive way, I don't care if they say happy holidays. I'm not going to be offended if my Muslim worker says happy holidays to me. I'm going to say to them the appropriate thing, if it's Eid, you know, if it's ridiculous. But we need to name that. We have to name that now, because the world needs to hear the positive message of what it means. So we have to identify ourselves by what we are not. And the second thing that we have to do is we have to use scriptures. John said, I am the one who is making the way in the wilderness. And that is why it is incumbent upon us as Christians to use two scriptures in this world to identify ourselves with things that Jesus made very clear. What he said in the Sermon on the Mount was, judge not, lest ye be judged. that all scriptures are applicable to yourself, but not other people. When you read about sin, it's not your job to go around and inform other people that their sin assigns them an eternal hell, but you're okay. And the other thing Jesus said is, love one another as I have loved you. Those two are the core message of Christianity, and what the world, what our neighbors, what our friends need to hear from us is that we have embraced the phrases of Jesus, not love not, judge one another, which is sadly what is out there a lot. We believe, judge not, love one another. Witness to that light. We're here because we know the world needs love. We're here because we know we need love. And we know people whose souls are searching for a place of acceptance, a place of grace, a place of goodness. And if their image of Christianity is defending child molestation, there's a problem. And we need to reclaim that and say that that's not who we are. And so the next stage in this process is what John did. It was his actions. So he said who he wasn't. He used scriptures to define who he was. And finally, he showed through his witness, through his action, in baptizing and in lighting the way for Jesus, he was able to share the light in the midst of the darkness. And that's what we need to do too. Now, I'm new to New England, but I know back in the Midwest, I come from the land that's not far from Lake Wobegon, if you're familiar with Garrison Keillor, where Lutherans are a shy lot who don't like to talk about themselves and say, I am wonderful and do this thing. But we need to get the word out about the goodness for people who are looking for it, about some of the good things that Emmanuel is doing. And we need to share it because the world, people are looking, they're craving for meaning and purpose, they're craving for wholeness, they're craving for acceptance and community. And we have an opportunity to tell them about that. Historically, this church has a history of it. It's amazing, it's incredible. You know, the vision of the Swedish Relief Society, of the way that this church historically invited people who were new to the country and helped them get jobs and helped them become part of society. What an incredible foundation upon which to build. I mean, right next door, when you look at Capitol Towers and that commitment to care for one another. And it continues, even in the short time that I've been here, I've been astounded at the way that people are caring and loving and sharing the light and the darkness. You know, we made 25,000 meals after church one day. But the really neat thing about that is we did it with our Hispanic Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters and the Muslim mosque. How cool is that? That's what people need to hear. I go to a church that has groups of people from different denominations and different religions working together for the good of the community. I went to the Friday night program and Sprout. I saw the commitment of this church to open this church up to the community. Your decision to be part of this community, to be engaged in it. Your decision to call me because of my focus and what drives me as a pastor of community connections. There are some exciting things on the horizon that will allow this church to be a vision of what Christ calls us to be, light in a dark world. We don't need to be shy about that. We don't have to go up and brag ourselves up. You would like to go, I am a really wonderful person and I do these great and wonderful things. We aren't going to do that because it's not a good idea. But we can say, I go to this really cool church that is committed to what Jesus represented, that is committed to being a witness, that is committed. We need to reclaim those words for ourselves. Because it is good news. It is gospel. We ourselves, in our brokenness, have received it. And it would be selfish to not share what you experience. So claim being a Christian. Claim being a person who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Share how it's transformed you and given you hope. And like John, be a witness. Because we aren't the light, but we're called to reflect it. Amen.